Thank you, Jerry. And we will allow you guys in on the conversation as well. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance is 1-888-666-0590. And it's just been such a pleasure to watch Roberto Osuna and Miguel Castro. Let me just tell you their numbers for the spring. Castro, first of all, in five outings, he has pitched 9 innings. He has allowed 3 hits, no walks, 8 strikeouts. Just simply phenomenal. Osuna, 5 outings, 9 2/3 innings, a run on 8 hits with 1 walk, 5 strikeouts, and 2 hit batsmen. Just an incredible job by both of them. Your calls coming. Do a little bit now. And then when we get on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan at 3 o'clock, Devin Travis is going to join us. And we'll get a chance to meet one of the youngest new Blue Jays. Well, let's get things started with Eddie in Fort Erie. Eddie, you're the leadoff man on Blue Jays Talk. Go right ahead.
Well, Mike, I just wanted to call and say how much I enjoy watching Osuna and Castro pitch. And I'm a firm believer in experience, but you know what? The way that they're pitching, and I just can't ignore, you know, how great they are. And I think for a season like this, sometimes you got to take chances. And I think the Blue Jays may have found something to help out the bullpen, you know, try to strike out the big-time hitter, especially in the 7th and 8th, you know?
Yeah, it certainly, and in the ninth too. What the heck? I mean, it certainly does seem as though that's going to be the deal. For me, it looks like that Castro may well be able to do for them what Aaron Sanchez did last year, which is come in and get big outs late in games, multiple innings, and in high leverage situations. And it's a huge bullpen weapon to have.
Oh, no question. I mean, the way that they're throwing the ball like so fast, and the changeup they have for the secondary pitch. I mean, that's going to be like a big key, and you know, I really hope that they make the team and see what happens. You know, and I'll talk to you again.
Yeah, I'm confident Castro is going to make the team so long as he stays healthy. I don't know about Osuna. I think perhaps they want to give him some minor league innings, some starts in the minors, and maybe do with him what they did with Sanchez last year, 100 innings, 80-100 innings in the minor leagues, and then call him up and help out in the bullpen. And I think that's a great way to go, I mean, unless you need him. And now he's down there if you need him, and Castro's up in the big leagues helping out. But it is, and there's still a chance of both of them make the team. And it's so nice to see two young, huge arms. It's a really exciting thing for after going through a winter where everyone was tearing their hair out about no additions to the bullpen. Thanks for the call, Eddie. We move on to Rodney in East York, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Rodney, you're on Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
All right, thanks.
I'm just calling to say that as soon as Stroman went down, Mike, I was very impressed. I thought, here we go again with the Blue Jays, but these two kids, they're amazing to watch, and I am totally psyched to watch these kids, and I hope they do good this year. And that's all I had to say, so thanks for taking my call, Mike.
All right, thanks for making it, and I appreciate the optimism. I really do, and you know what? It's okay to have been totally depressed when Marcus Stroman went down for the season. Marcus Stroman was going to be the Blue Jays' opening day starter. They never announced that, but they would have gotten to it had he been healthy. He's got incredible stuff. He was one of the best pitchers in the major leagues the second half of last season. From the point in time at which he joined the rotation, he was very arguably a top 10 big league pitcher. And the Blue Jays were really counting on him to do some big things this year. So it's okay to be depressed. But all is not lost. see what you've got here in Castro and Asuna. And Aaron Sanchez and Daniel Norris. And you see that the Blue Jays are still probably going to be a very, very good team this season. Jamie is in Etobicoke. Welcome to Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. I just wanted to ask you, with the two rookies, Norris and Sanchez, being in the rotation, what are the chances of them actually making it through the whole season with being a rookie arm?
It's a good question. Do you mean like injury-free, or do you mean there might be an innings limit that comes up?
The innings limit, as well as maybe skipping a couple starts, and maybe who would they put in for those starts? Like, would Asuno and Castro be a couple guys they would throw in for spot starts to give those guys a couple days rest?
Not Castro, if he's going to be a closer or a big arm in the back of the bullpen. If you commit to making him a reliever, you're certainly not going to put him in that situation, I don't think. But it's not a bad idea to, you know, keep an eye on them and skip them when you can every once in a while. Give them that extra day. Certainly R.A. Dickey and Mark Burley, you don't really have to worry about giving them a breather every once in a while. But maybe it is Asuna. Maybe it's Estrada. Maybe somebody else pops up to give you a spot start like Liam Hendricks did three times last year for the Blue Jays. But I do think they're definitely going to keep an eye on them. I'm sure they don't want either one of them throwing 200 innings this year. Last year, Sanchez wound up at around 140. So even if you go by the rule of 30%, you'd like to cap him at about 185 this season. Norris, last year, at several different levels, you're going to make me do some math now, through about 130 innings, so close to the same thing. You can give him about 170 and feel comfortable. Then again,
well,
if you're in a pennant race
starts
in September.
So, like each player, on average, about four starts. So, I mean, that's a lot of starts.
Yeah,
for...
but you can do that. I mean, you give them 10 days off around the All-Star break, and if they look healthy... And something we have to remember, I mean, pitchers get hurt, right? And you never know and all of that stuff. Nobody knows really how to keep them healthy. But they're not pieces of glass. And if they look healthy and if they're still healthy and still throwing well in August and you're in a race, then you know what? It's been 21 years. You keep throwing them until they stop looking so good. I don't think the Blue Jays will pull a Strasburg with either one of them and just slam the door shut when they're in a pennant race in September. I got to go. I appreciate the call. And again, we will leave the network, but we're going to stay on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet590.ca. And Devin Travis is going to come join us as we continue with Blue Jays Talk. It's the Honda Post Game Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Russell Martin up. He hits a fly ball deep to right center field. That's got a chance to go. Long, high, deep drive. That's heading for the fence, and there she goes.
Russell Martin with a little Oppo Taco action in the bottom of the sixth inning. Made it 3-0 Blue Jays, and that's the final score. The Blue Jays beat the Tampa Bay Rays. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Blue Jays Talk here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, taking you all the way to 4 o'clock Eastern Time with a very special guest who's only going to be here for half that. I wouldn't make him stay for an hour. But Devin Travis joins us right now, Blue Jays second base hopeful, who's having a heck of a spring. And the phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. This is really the first time, first chance we've gotten to introduce you to the people back home in Toronto. I've gotten to know you over the last couple of months, and it's been just a pleasure, I have to tell you. But congratulations on the spring that you're having.
Thank you so much, Mike. It's really been a great time here, and this is an organization filled with great people. The supporting cast around it, too, has been absolutely incredible. So I honestly don't have enough great things to say.
And it seems, only because this is what everyone's talking about today, to be an organization filled with some pretty good 20-year-old pitchers, too.
Man, those guys are special. I was talking to the second base umpire today, and I just can't believe it. You know, Ozuna and Castro, they're two very, very special talents. The fact that they've only played in high A is unreal to me. Those guys are really, really special dudes, and they're actually really, really humble players. So it's really, really awesome to be around.
We got a chance to talk to Ozuna afterwards. Actually, we talked to Castro, too. Deonor Navarro translated for us. So he seemed to be like a really quiet, composed guy. But Ozuna's eyes were popping out of his head. I mean, he is so excited about how this spring is going for him.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I could only imagine that. At 20 years old, to be having success like that is pretty crazy. And definitely, they're two guys that if you see Ozuna, you see Castro right behind him. So they're definitely so excited to be here, and it's really a pleasure to be behind them rather than be in that batter's box when they're pitching.
What's your philosophy on? For me, hitters are a little bit different than pitchers. Hitters need some more seasoning and need to see a bunch of pitches and have a lot of at-bats in the minor leagues. You could have played AAA last year, and I don't think you're included in this, because if you're ready to make the jump, they'll take you. But for me, the stuff like that plays in the big leagues, and why would you waste bullets in A-ball when it looks like the two of them could actually get major league hitters out?
Yeah, you know, definitely. It's everyone has their different paths. I mean, I can't imagine those guys pitching in A-ball, yet alone AA, yet alone AAA, and the success that they're having here at the big league level. Although it is just spring training, it's still the same hitter. So those guys really have some special stuff, and I'm really excited to see, you know, what they can do.
Does it work the same way for you when you face, I mean, even Everett Tiefert, who's in a battle for the fifth starter's job, he's got big league time. When you face a Cole Hamels, you know, guys like that, does that allow you to say, okay, these are major league pitchers, and I'm holding my own against them?
You definitely try to keep it into perspective. I stepped into that batter's box, and about a week ago I looked up, and it was CC Sabathia. Yesterday it was Cole Hamels. I'm looking over at third base, it's Evan Longoria. So this is just really it's a special time for me. I'm just trying to treat it like a game of baseball. You know, they obviously have some very, very special stuff, and, you know, they're very successful big leaguers. But I'm just trying to believe and take it day by day and really just trying to pick everyone's brain in our dugout.
And you really, I mean, the way you've come on this spring, you started 0-for-11. You were playing every day that first week. They really want to get a good hard look at you. And I, you know, I was talking with Joe Siddle up here in the booth and saying, once that first one happens, you know, then it'll all be, and you hit like a 73 hopper up the middle for your first hit, and you're hitting 500 since then, 14 for your last 28 with that double today. Was that as big a load off getting that first hit as we all thought it would be?
The first one's definitely the toughest one to get. I mean, coming to a new organization, new people, new coaches, new players, everybody really, and you want to do your best to make a good impression. And I'm definitely at fault of coming in and pressing and just trying to do too much. You know, I'm definitely just trying to be who I am now and just play the game the right way. Have good at bats, see pitches. When you get hits, you get hits. You know, you can't control that, but I can control going up there and having good at bats and trying to see as many pitches as I can, just to, you know, really to try to get in a groove and get back to my old self.
And it's like a lot of people, when they put that pressure on themselves, they can't get out of it within a week. Like, it lasts for a long time. Someone has to come over and talk to them and say, hey, we brought you here for a reason. And, you know, you don't have to worry about that. Just go out and swing the bat. It seemed like you didn't get stuck in that too long, which I think speaks to your maturity as a hitter and I guess as a person, too. You didn't let it destroy you.
Yeah,
or ruin your spring anyway.
Yeah, I mean, this is the most humbling game. Really humbling experience I've ever been through in my life is through the game of baseball. And I definitely have to credit Gibby and Lewis and honestly everyone in that locker room. When I was 0-for-11, I think my first day I went 0-for-3 or 0-for-4. And
that was 0-for-4.
I kind of walked in and I was hanging my head, and DeMarlo Hell walked in and he goes, you're really hanging your head about 0-for-4? You're going to have way worse than 0-for-4 in your career. So, you know, go home, get you a good dinner, and get some sleep tonight, because, you know, tomorrow we'll be back at it. So I definitely have to, you know, really credit the coaching staff. They continue to believe in me. And just that little pickup, you know, when Gibby walks by and he goes, hey, Dev, you're all right, man. You know, it's early. Keep going. Just something that small, you know, for a younger guy is something that can go a long way.
People like to think that there's constant communication from management. They think that you guys get, all right, you still have a chance to make the team, or this is what you need to do. Oh, we're going to send you out in 2 days or something like that. But it really doesn't work that way, does it? I mean, you find out what you find out basically when we find out too. And as long as you're still here, you're still here.
Yeah, we like to say there's a wall, and you know, there's the wall that we see, and on the other side of the wall, that's the coaches and all the management. And you know, that's the wall that you wish you could see, but you know, really just taking it day by day. This experience for me is special. I literally every single day ask about 100 questions to, you know, anybody I can, just because I want to learn. I want to be a student of the game. I want to pick up on little things, and it's not just the stuff you do in the cages or the stuff that you do in the infield while you're taking ground balls, but it's the little things in this game. And you know, Bautista is one of the smartest dudes in the world, and he'll hit a double and he'll come back and, you know, in the dugout, and he'll kind of be talking to himself, and I'm wondering, you know, what more could you want to do? And it's just those little things right there. The guys that are at the top of the game, Bautista, Reyes, they want to be, you know, they always want to be better. And to me, that's so intriguing to see the success that they have, and they still want more. It's pretty awesome.
Are those the guys you're leaning on, or are there other people just as far as the players go?
Honestly, everybody. Tolleson, Smoke, Reyes, Bautista. Honestly, everyone's kind of, you know, giving me some input. I'm always asking everybody questions. I really want to learn. I mean, the first day I walked in and saw I was playing second base, you know, and Jose Reyes was on that lineup at shortstop. It's something pretty cool being from South Florida, him being on the Marlins growing up. I got to watch him for forever. So I'm really, like I said, this experience for me is incredible, and I'm just loving every day of it.
And we're loving watching you, and your calls are welcome at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We're with Devin Travis, and if you want to talk to Devin, now's your only chance, maybe till hopefully there is no Blue Jays playoff pregame this year, because hopefully the team's playing and everybody's too busy to come on the radio and do a playoff pregame show. So this might be your only chance, so give us a call. You come in, you traded, new organization, and it was one of those, it was a baseball trade as opposed to a salary dump something, you know, or a bunch of young kids going for one veteran. It's a young guy for a young guy, and there are two ways, obviously, to take it when you get traded. They don't want me, or they want me. What was your path when you found out?
I definitely, you know, at the time when it happened, 10:15 at night, I don't know what I was thinking when it originally happened. Literally, I felt like an alien. It was a pretty crazy first 24 hours. Definitely the want me side. It's an incredible opportunity over here, and you know, anytime someone wants you, that's somewhere where you want to be. I couldn't say enough good things about the Tigers organization. They treated me phenomenal. It really is a great organization, but I really couldn't tell you how much more excited I am now to be a Blue Jay, and everyone here is just as great, if not better. So this is a really awesome experience for me.
Watching you play second base every day, and it's been pretty much every day all spring long, it's hard for me to imagine you in center field. What was that like at the end of last year?
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. I honestly felt like I was on the other side of the fence. Being a short guy, putting you further away from the action definitely makes you feel even smaller. It was a pretty cool little deal, though. I think I was only out there 3 or 4 days, and at the end of a minor league season, it's a grind. And for me, it was, you know, a little spark plug for me, like, hey, let's try something new. Let's see how this works out. And there's no bad hops in the air, so
yeah, that helps a lot. That helps a lot. We're with Devin Travis, and a couple of tweets coming through from @JBaza. He would like me to convey to you that the fans recognize your generosity with your time and appreciate you being here. Think Like a GM says, yes, we love you, Devin, in Toronto. # starting second baseman, # first time since 1993. You come to a team that has a lot of baggage, 21 years, not being in the playoffs, the longest drought of any team in North American pro sports right now. But baseball's also been the toughest game to get into the playoffs, right? It had been the Pirates, and then it had been the Royals. They both made it the last 2 years, so we're thinking no reason you can't do it this year. And I know that there was a bit of a cloud last week when Marcus Stroman goes down. But it's still, I mean, you look at, someone suggested to me, well, Stroman gets hurt. So let's say you go out and you trade for Aaron Sanchez and Miguel Castro that day to help you out. When Stroman gets hurt, all of a sudden everybody's excited. And that's what you've got. This is a survivable injury, even though it's to one of the best pitchers on the team.
Yeah, anytime you lose a guy like Marcus Stroman, it's a big hit, and honestly, it really broke my heart for the guy, because he's one of the most positive and most energetic, and honestly, he's just great to have around the clubhouse. I mean, you walk in, and if you're having a bad day, when Stroman says what's up to you, he's one of the few guys that can bring a smile to your face. His honestly, his positivity is something that I've never seen in a person before. So I couldn't say enough great things about that guy. But at the same time, injuries are a part of sports, and you know, when they happen, you can't, you know, hang your head low and say, oh man, well now what are we gonna do? It's you got to keep going. You got to keep that foot on the gas pedal. And you know, definitely these young guys here now have to step up, and I'm definitely looking forward to it. I don't see any reason why they couldn't. However, if I could have it my way, Marcus Stroman would be on that mound every fifth day. So
yeah, and a lot of people, and of course you'd rather have him in the clubhouse, because how many guys are you taller than on the team, right? So with Stroman, you get one more.
Yeah, well he's got that long hair right now. He's got me, but I'm coming for him.
We're taking your calls here, so let's get to it. People want to talk to Devin Travis. John is in Hamilton. Blue Jays beat the Rays today 3-0. Devin goes 1-for-2 with a double and a run scored. John, say hello to Devin Travis.
Hey, Devin. I'm a big fan.
John, how you doing?
I was just wondering, who's your biggest mentor? I mean, everyone, when every baseball fan plays catch with their dad, I mean, you know, you go through coaches with different teams. Who has been the biggest impact? Who has had the biggest impact for you?
I would definitely have to say my mom and my dad. At a young age, I was always kept, you know, I had to walk a pretty straight line. There was no sucking my teeth. There was no nodding my head. There was honestly not much of anything other than yes ma'am, no ma'am. So I definitely have to credit my parents. I mean, they're two of the greatest people that I know, and I really have to credit them for everything, you know, that I've done in my life.
It a lot of people who go into athletics, it seems like growing up, and you grew up in South Florida, which can be a tough environment too, but a lot of there are times where you go either way, and it seems like that, not strict, but a tough family life to keep you in line and keep you on that right track is a huge help to a lot of guys to kind of keep them, because it's not that far to get to the other side of the tracks.
No, definitely. When you're going through it, you're looking at your parents like, man, you know, my parents are so tough on me, man. They're so strict. Mom, I really can't bring a bee home. So at the time you're going through it and you're like, man, this is ridiculous. Now that I'm you know, grown, I'd like to say, I can't let my dad hear me say I'm grown, but now that I'm more mature and kind of have a better grasp on life, I'm so happy that they were so tough on me. Like you said, it's very easy to, you know, venture off that line and end up going the wrong way. And anytime I even came remotely close, I was grabbed back to the other side very quickly. So, yeah, my parents really are – I owe them everything I've ever done in my life. So
that's great. That's great to hear. Jeffrey is in Fergus, Ontario. Jeffrey, say hi to Devin Travis.
Devin, what's going on, buddy?
Jeff, not much, man. Not much. I'm probably a little bit warmer than you right now, but I hope you're indoors.
That's right. Yeah, like minus 11 here, I'm telling you. Listen, man, I was driving into the city. I figured I'd give you a call. I just wanted to ask you, man, playing in Toronto, instead, it's one of the, I guess one of the only differences in Toronto, I guess, to the other teams is, you know, you're playing, I guess, for a country instead of a city. Have you felt much love, I guess, for you since you come to Toronto, or like across Canada, or not yet?
Definitely, that was actually the one thing that my agent told me after the trade that, you know, really stuck with me. Obviously, you have a lot of emotion when you go through a trade, and it being my first time, I had no clue what was going on, and you know, I got a text that said, "Hey, you know, just think, you're not any longer playing for a city, but you're playing for an entire country." And you know, to me, that's so special. I know the pride that, you know, that Blue Jays fans have for, you know, for their team, for their players. And honestly, I've only been with the Blue Jays now for 3 or 4 months, and the love and everything I really got from the fans on just Twitter alone has been pretty special. I feel like I know, you know, 10, 15 people just from the tweets that they send me all the time. And you know, as athletes, a lot of people think that we don't ever read them, but we read all those tweets. So it's, you know, it's definitely encouraging. It's great to have a fan base that's, you know, that's so passionate for their team. And we're really looking forward to, you know, hopefully any way we can just putting together the team we can to bring home some victories.
And you have been up in Canada. We were together at a Special Olympics event in St. Thomas, Ontario. You got a good taste of winter and snow and all that stuff. But that, too, it was great to see you and Daniel Norris, 500,000 people in that auditorium who had no idea who you guys were going in, just that you were new Blue Jays, both of you, because Daniel had like 5 innings in the big leagues, too. And they, I mean, you must have felt it. They were terrific.
No, definitely. I felt so special. I was, you know, kind of going into that like, you know, man, I just got traded. You know, a lot of people probably aren't going to even know who I am. How's this going to go? And I felt like I felt like everyone knew me there. So it's pretty special. And the fact that fans just know players through a trade, you know, a lot of fans, so many trades happen every day. A lot of fans don't even recognize. But it really was. It was so special to see, you know, the passion and the love that they have for, you know, for all their players, even guys that, you know, either have never played in the big leagues or have only played in a little bit. The love me and Daniel Norris got there was absolutely incredible.
And then Norris went and cut his hair. We're with Devin Travis here. How much did you know about the Blue Jays when you got traded here? And I mean, obviously you've learned a little bit since, but everybody remembers the Joe Carter home run, whether you were old enough to experience it or not. But you're moving into, you know, some pretty serious second base legacy here in Toronto, from Roberto Alomar, who's in the Hall of Fame, Orlando Hudson, won a bunch of gold gloves, Aaron Hill as well. There's some big shoes to fill here at second base.
No, definitely. I had the opportunity to work with Roberto Alomar about a week and a half, maybe 2 weeks ago, and that's a moment I'll never forget. I mean, he's a guy that was really the face of second baseman, you know, throughout his playing time, a guy that, you know, I've looked up to, you know, since I was, you know, just 4 or 5 years old and was just starting to understand the game of baseball. All the guys that, you know, were here ahead of me definitely had, you know, some very special careers. If any way or anyhow I can figure out a way to, you know, to kind of implement my game and try to, you know, try to do the little things that they did to, you know, to become better, I'm always open to getting better every day, every way possible.
And you've got and it's tough to be in competition. But Meister Sturz gets hurt. He's probably not going to be able to enter the Bell opening day. Ramon Santiago breaks his collarbone, so he's going to be out for a while. So the competition gets thinned out, even though those are two big league players who could help this team and will help this team at some point. Now it's basically you and Ryan Goins and Steve Tolleson, and you're the only one who doesn't have big league time. Goins is the huge glove. How's the interaction like that? How do you avoid the whole, man, you know, he goes 0-4 today. That's a little kick for me, something like that.
I've never been that guy. For me, I guess it started when I was young, going back to my dad. You root for everybody. There's times in games where you're 0-4 and you're on deck and there's two outs and you struck out 3 times. And who wants that last at bat? Really, who wants that last at bat? And I was always taught, you pull for your team, you pull for your players. I'm pulling for everybody, really. I love to see people succeed. Ramon Santiago, honestly, one of the best people I've ever met with the Tigers. I was, you know, just – I think I just finished short season. I got called up to a couple of big league games in my first spring training. And from day one, he went out of his way, introduced himself. Just the little things like that, people don't realize how far they really can go. And he's someone that I'll remember. He'll hold a close place to me forever. Just that little interaction right there. My service tourist has helped me every single day out on the field. You hate to see guys go down like that. At the same time, with guys like Ryan Goins and Steve Tolleson, they help me out every day. I talked to Tolleson for about 25 minutes in the dugout today. Ryan Goins is a great dude. When I got traded, he sent out a tweet and direct messaged me, "Hey man, when you get in here, I'd love to work out with you." How can you not really root for guys like that? It's a brotherhood. We're all on the same team. The goal is to win. It doesn't matter who's out there. And as long as the guy that's out there has that same mindset to win, it doesn't really matter to me who's there.
So it sounds beautiful. It really does. And this is a great things to hear from one of our young Blue Jays. Devin Travis is here with us on Blue Jays Talk. And let's take another phone call, shall we? John, I can barely see the screen, the glare here. John is in Toronto. You're on Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Say hello to Devin Travis.
Hey, Devin. It's funny. I'm actually in the Toronto airport on my way home from Dunedin right now, just transiting through, and heard you guys on the phone, so I figured I'd give a quick call. I just want to say I got down there like a week ago, and you were your first game I saw was against the Yankees last Tuesday night, and since then you've had yourself quite a week, so congratulations, sir. I think you're turning into quite a ball player. I didn't really have a question. I just have a quick comment. After the Red Sox game, I'm not much of an autograph guy or anything like that, but I sort of hung around for a few minutes and was just looking and got to witness some of your interactions with the fans. And you seem to have an incredible amount of time for everybody. You seem to be very, very gracious with everybody. And I just want to say that that's the type of stuff that actually, like, changes lives for, you know, young kids who are looking to get into the game and all that type of stuff. So kudos to you, sir. And I hope you keep it up going forward. And that's all I've really got to say.
No, John. Thank you so much. You know, this platform that, you know, that athletes get, it's easy to, you know, to forget about where you came from, or, you know, just to forget that, you know, there was a point in time where I was that kid standing on the fence, and, you know, when a guy walked by, even if a Chipper Jones would give me a head nod when he's walking into the locker room, to me, that's something that, you know, I would hold tight for, you know, forever. So any chance I have to, you know, just to put a smile on someone's face, honestly, what's 10 or 15 minutes after a game? I'm not going to do anything anyway but go home and sit on the couch. So, you know, definitely, and anytime I can stop and converse with the people that are really rooting for us and, you know, keep us going when we're down, I'll always be there for that.
And a lot of times I think people in your situation, to a lesser extent in my situation, don't really recognize that as much when – you know, like yesterday I had a caller on the post-game show who said, "Hey, remember when I called in last June and we..." And I was like, "No, I have no idea." But it makes a big impact on the people who are interacting with you, just that 1 second. And so it never hurts to wave, say hi, spend a second like that. And it can be tough to remember sometimes that you may not remember this interaction, but that guy's going to remember it more for you than for someone like me, but that guy's going to remember it for the rest of his life and make a decision on what kind of human being you are based on that 5 seconds with you.
Yeah, you're so right. I just think that, you know, it's easy for athletes, for really anybody with, you know, with the platform, you to have an impact on someone's life. And, you know, if sometimes it's going to be the only 1 or 2 seconds you ever see anyone in your life. And, you know, for me, I've always kind of, you know, tried to take pride on being a good person to everybody. It's cliche, but treat everyone how you want to be treated. It's so true. And something so small as saying hey to somebody or how you doing, if that can make an impact on someone's life, I just think that's honestly the most special thing in the world, to have a platform like that, just to, you know, for a kid to remember that one time you said hello to him. If I'm able to do that for somebody, I would do it all day long, really, if I could.
And you're going to do it, I'm sure, for a lot of people. We'll keep you here for another couple of minutes. Blue Jays beat the Rays 3-0 now, 12-8 so far this spring. We've got Devin Travis with us, who was 1-for-2 with a double, scored a run, and is 14 for his last 28, which is a little silly at this point in spring training. But the run you scored and the run Jose Reyes scored in the first inning, I mean, that's like serious run manufacturing. A double, get him over with a ground ball, get him in with a ground ball. And we haven't seen a lot of that. This has been a team that's been built on the home run for a lot of years. Still will be with Bautista and Donaldson and Edwin and even Justin Smoke and guys like that. But that, a lot of people really love that stuff, that run manufacturing that you were a part of today.
No, definitely. That's our job, really. Jose Reyes is phenomenal. I mean, he knows his job. His job is to, get on base any way possible. If it's a bunt, if it's an infield hit, hitting the gap, it's the little things that win ball games, and you see it with all the good teams. They do the little things right, and it's something that, you know, we really have to take pride on. You know, we have guys, Bautista, Smoke, Donaldson, like you said, that can change the game with one swing of the bat. That's not my job. That's not going to be Reyes' job. Our job is to get on base and really do anything we can to get to that next one. And, you know, today definitely, you know, was a little taste of hopefully, you know, something that, you know, this team can really take a lot of pride on and, you know, really get better at every day.
And it was really interesting to watch you in that read, because a contact play wasn't on for you. The ball gets hit back to the pitcher, and immediately you're not going. And then it pops out of his glove, so you take a few more hard steps to make sure that he's going to throw to first, and as soon as he let it go, you took off and you were safe in a slide. Loney's throw was a little bit late, but that's a read that not a lot of people make.
You know, being a little guy and, you know, not the fastest guy in the world, you have to do the little things right. And that's an RBI for Jose Reyes. That's a run on the board for us. That makes our pitcher in that dugout take a deep breath and, you know, kind of relax a little bit. It's just the little things in this game that win, and it's something that I really try to take a lot of pride on. If I don't score in that situation, who knows? You know, it could be a 3-2 ball game in the ninth inning, and they come up and now hit a home run. Now it's 3-3, and we play 18 innings. Now everyone's tired for the 1 o'clock game the next day. So every single run, no matter what the score is, especially in the AL East. 5-run leads, 4-run leads, you never know how safe they really are. So every single run we can get, we need to take advantage of.
How do you make that decision to not go when the ball pops out? That's when a lot of people would take off. You still played it safe and managed to score anyway. But what are you thinking there once you see it come out of his glove?
Well, originally I was just going on a ball in the middle, short and second. And off the bat, boom, saw it hit. And I thought I actually had a chance to get by. I saw the pitcher gloved it for a second, and it kind of popped out. Well, I was kind of already probably 15 feet off the bag, so I was hopping down a little bit, and I'm like, I just don't think that a pitcher is going to turn around after the ball goes towards the first base side to, you know, to check me out. So as soon as I saw him pick the ball back up and he didn't pay any attention to turn around and look at me, I knew that was my opportunity to, you know, to take off. And honestly, even if it's a close play at the plate, and whether you score or not, you know, with one out, you got to really force the issue at third base. And, yeah, thankfully it worked out for us.
Make them make a perfect throw, right? And they didn't, and you scored. Let's go back to the phones for a second before we let Devin go. Sean is in Caledon. Sean, go right ahead.
Hey, big fan, Devin. Not as big as Mike there, but really was glad when they traded for you. Big hole at second base the last few years. And I just want to ask you, now that Asturias is hurt, the management's been saying they're going to bring the best team north that they can. Do you feel like you've made the team, or do you still think there's a chance that you could be sent to Buffalo? And if you don't make the team, will you be disappointed?
I definitely wouldn't say disappointed. You know, like I've said from day one, you can only control what you can control. If I'm a part of that best team to go north, then, and I'm on that team, well, you know, that's a dream come true, and I'm really excited to get going and do anything I can to help this team win. If I end up in Buffalo, how could I hang my head? I mean, I still got a jersey on my back, and I'm still, you know, a part of an organization that wants me, that wants me to be a part of them, whether it's now or down the road. And, you know, that's really all you can ask for in this game is an opportunity. You got to take it day by day. I try not to ever think about the fact that, you know, I could head north out of spring training, because that'll sidetrack me, and that'll get my head somewhere where it doesn't need to be right now. I need to be focusing on, you know, doing everything I can. It's still spring training. It's still so early. I really just got to come to the field every day and do all I can to, you know, to get better. And like I said, whatever team heads north. I'm just so excited to be a Blue Jay, and I'm really looking forward to what's ahead.
I'm going to sidetrack you a little bit, though. I won't ask you about making the team, but at the very least, it seems like they're going to take you with them to Montreal. That's where the last two games of the preseason are, and one would assume you're going to be in there. And even if they've already optioned you out by then, which nobody thinks is going to happen, you go there to get that experience. Last year, Montreal, we were at the big league stadium, two games, 96,000 people came to watch. The atmosphere was unbelievable. You've played in the Little League World Series, you played in the College World Series, but but how much would you look forward to something like a spring training game with 50,000 people in the stands?
I mean, that's a dream come true. Ever since I was 4 or 5 years old, my dreams were to play in the big leagues one day. And you know, the fact that that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and you know, even here in spring training, you get a little taste of, you know, being on the field, you know, with guys that you've been watching for forever. Having that opportunity to play in Montreal in front of 96,000 people in two nights, it's tough to grasp, you know. I hope I'm on that trip. I'm really looking forward to that, the opportunity to head to that and play in a game in front of Canada, which would be my first game out of the country. I don't really think words could really describe, you know, the feeling that, you know, that it gives me inside. But yeah, like I said, I'm so excited, man. This is just such an exciting time for, you know, for me, for everybody really on this team. The clubhouse is great. There's nothing but, you know, positive vibes going through the clubhouse, and everyone's smiling, joking, laughing around. So just being able to be around these guys really is really special.
Devin, I can't thank you enough for coming up. I know we tried to get you up here on the broadcast and lines got crossed a while ago. So I'm glad we could get you on. I'm glad we could introduce you to the people in Toronto. It's been a pleasure getting to know you, and I look forward to a lot more seeing Devin Travis here up in the big leagues for a long time. It's going to be a good thing. Thanks so much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Mike, thank you, man. It was my pleasure.
That's Devin Travis, everybody. We'll continue with the pregame, with the postgame show. Game's over. The postgame show continues. It is the Sportsnet 590, The Fan. There. In the bottom of the first inning, as the Blue Jays manufacture a run there, Jose Reyes with a hustle double. Then a ground ball by Russ Martin gets him over. That ground ball by Jose Bautista that you just heard gets him in. And then another manufactured run in the third. Devin Travis leads off the third inning with a double. Ground ball by Dalton Pompey gets him over. Ground ball by Jose Reyes gets him in. And, of course, Russ Martin with the home run in the sixth inning. But the story today was really Roberto Osuna and Miguel Castro. And I don't mean to take any of the shine off of Colt Hines, who we're really not talking about at all. But Colt Hines is probably going to make this team. Colt Hines was picked up on waivers late last year, I believe, from the Los Angeles Dodgers. He threw a perfect seventh inning today. And check out his spring. Seven outings, 6 2/3 innings, one hit, no walks, six strikeouts. The Blue Jays want a third lefty in the bullpen. They liked Hines from the beginning. And I'm not going to go so far as to say there are no other kinds. But Colt Hines is making a very, very, very strong statement towards coming north with this Blue Jays team as a part of the bullpen. So's Miguel Castro. And Miguel Castro is just blowing everybody away. And not just with the high 90s fastball that we saw. I saw at least 198 today. But his entire spring has been ridiculous. A 20-year-old out of La Romana in the Dominican Republic. He started last season in Vancouver. Short season A-ball in Vancouver. And he's going to make the Major League team. It's incredible. And he's done it with the big fastball, and he's done it with a changeup that's just ridiculous. It really is. It's a silly, silly changeup. Today he threw 2 1/3 innings. He allowed one hit. He faced eight hitters and retired seven of them, which means that over the course of his spring, through nine innings of work, he's faced 29 hitters. Drink that in for a second. Nine innings means 27 outs. This 20-year-old kid has gotten 27 outs facing 29 hitters so far in a grand total of his five appearances this spring. He is two batters over the minimum. He hasn't walked anybody yet. He has eight strikeouts in those nine innings. It's a coming out party unlike almost anything I've ever seen before. And it just keeps on happening. And it was amazing to watch. No one had talked to Miguel Castro prior to today because he doesn't speak any English. At least nobody in the English media. So I recruited DeHonor Navarro to act as a translator, and Navarro, who's also, like Devin Travis, who was just in here, just a wonderful, wonderful guy. He said, sure, no problem. And he even delayed his watching of Barcelona soccer by 3 minutes. So I present that for you now. It's a media scrum with Miguel Castro, with Deonor Navarro doing the translating.
I guess ask him to tell us about his spring so far, what it feels like to be doing the things he's doing against major leaguers.
Que cómo te has sentido durante el sprint training hasta ahora y que cómo se siente, que cómo tú te sientes del trabajo que has hecho contra bateadores de grandes ligas.
Bueno, primeramente le doy gracias a Dios por la oportunidad de estar aquí en este entrenamiento y es una bastante experiencia de estar aquí y seguir adelante y haciendo un buen trabajo.
First of all, I just want to thank God for the opportunity that he has given me to be in big league camp. And it's a tremendous experience to be around players like us and that he's just glad that he's been doing a great job so far.
It looks like he might break camp with the team. Did he have any expectation that anything like that was going to happen?
Que parece que hay una buena oportunidad de que se te vaya para Grandes Ligas con el equipo, que si tú tienes alguna expectativa acerca de eso.
No. Por ahora no, nada.
Nada. So far right now, he just worried about doing what he's been doing and whatever happens, happens.
He throws awfully hard. When did the change up become a really effective pitch for him?
Que todo el mundo sabe que tú tiras bastante duro, pero que desde hace cuánto tu cambio ha sido tan efectivo.
Desde el año pasado, que empecé en Vancouver, en la clase A corta.
Since last year, when he was in Vancouver in short A, he's been working on it.
Has he thought about what it would be like to go from Vancouver to starting a season in Yankee Stadium?
Que si tú has tenido alguna vez te ha pasado por tu mente qué sería estar el año pasado en Vancouver y que hay la posibilidad de que este año vayas a abrir el equipo en el Yankee Stadium.
No, I don't know.
No, he hasn't thought about it.
Who taught him how to throw like that?
Que quien te enseñó a tirar la bola así.
Trabajando y aprendiendo de los pitchers veteranos y de lo que los pitching coaches enseñan y eso.
Working hard, I'm trying to get advice from the veteran guys and listening to the pitching coach very well.
There's Miguel Castro, who's had a phenomenal spring. Roberto Osuna's had an incredible spring too, and we got the chance to talk to him also.
How would you assess the performance today?
I mean, great. You know, I feel very, very excited and very happy. I feel pretty good.
The last time you pitched in Tampa against the Yankees, they had already taken out most of their big leaguers. You were facing a bunch of legitimate major league hitters today.
Yeah, I mean, it's always excited to face those guys and a little bit of nervous, you know, face Longoria for the first time. But I'm glad. I think I did a good job, so I'm very happy.
Outside of results, how do you judge whether an outing is successful?
I've been working for it, you know, for today, and I feel great, and I think I got to keep working a little bit more. I miss a couple pitches, and that can't happen in the big leagues, you know. But I'm going to keep working on it.
There's Roberto Osuna, and obviously we're right up against the clock here, so couldn't give you the whole thing, but he was just so excited. You know, Castro was kind of calm and quiet, and Osuna just can't believe his eyes are popping out of his head. And it's great to see. It's great to see out of both of them. And hopefully lots of good things for both of them as the spring continues and as their big league careers begin. We're back tomorrow. No, we're not. Tomorrow's off. We're back Tuesday, 1 o'clock on the web. Joe Siddle and me from Fort Myers. Join us then. Thanks to Tom Young. Thanks to Devin Travis, Mark Boffo, Brian Calhoun, Jeff Sammons. Next, Sportsnet Today on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.